The scripture reading this Ascension Day evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read two passages from Luke, one from the beginning and one from the end. The beginning is the first 23 verses of the first chapter of Luke, Luke 1, 1 to 23. And then the second passage is Luke 24, the last three verses of that chapter, the last three verses, in fact, of the book of Luke. So first of all then, and I want to tell you why I'm doing this. The Gospel of Luke begins and ends in the temple. It begins and ends in the temple. The first is Zechariah in the temple at the altar of incense. And I'm going to read that first. And then the second is that Jesus ascended into heaven, and then the disciples or the apostles who saw him go into heaven went into the temple and were there rejoicing, praising, and blessing God. So we're going to look at those two and contrast those two temple appearances as to the person, the place, and the time. So first of all then, from Luke chapter 1, here we read the Word of God as follows. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the Word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both religious before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And while the multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And now to the end of the book of Luke, chapter 24, the verses 52 to 53. Then he led them, that is Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this very interesting passages, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank You for the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the victory that our Lord Jesus has accomplished, that You raised Him up and You exalted Him and You gave Him the name that is above every name. And so bless us now as we look at this together. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Ascension Day is not really one of the more prominent celebrations in the church's calendar. A lot of people don't even know that this is Ascension Day. But we do. It's 40 days after the resurrection. You can count it on your calendar. It's always the same amount of time, 40 days after the resurrection, 10 days before Pentecost. And so we look at the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very, very important day for the church. It was a very important day for our Lord Jesus Himself, and it's a very important day to remember. We're going to look at two things, at two passages. One is Zacharias in the temple, and then secondly, the disciples in the temple after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see an interesting contrast between those two events. Regarding the person, regarding the place, and regarding the time. It's very important to realize that in the Old Testament, the person of the high priest who gave the blessing, and that's what Zacharias did, and the people were all waiting outside and wondered why he delayed. They were waiting for the blessing that the priest would give upon them, and there was only one person who could do it, and that was the priest. And Zechariah was in the position of being priest because his time came up. It was his turn to be priest. He was of the family of Abijah. So the priesthood was something that he inherited. It was connected by blood. The Aaron priesthood, which was the first of the Old Testament priests, was passed on from father to son and on down to the generations. It was related to the tribe of Levi. They were the priest's tribe. And so the time of Zacharias came that he had to be the priest. And so he was the priest because his turn came up and he was of the right tribe. And Elizabeth was his wife, and she, we read also, she was a daughter of Aaron. And so she was in the same tribe as Zacharias. And so he married her, no doubt, so that their children, their sons especially, could also be priests. He wanted to continue that line of heredity that he got from his father and on down through the generations. That's how it went. So that's how the Old Testament priesthood was arranged. But you remember from Psalm 110, the song we sang, the Lord unto our Lord has said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies come, submit to thy command. A priesthood that should never end was the priesthood of Melchizedek. And so in the book of Hebrews, we read that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And of Melchizedek, we read, he had neither father nor mother. It's found in Hebrews chapter 7, where it says, he is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. That is Melchizedek. And Jesus Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who did not have a hereditary line. He's without father, without mother. We really don't know very much about Melchizedek. We really don't. Zacharias was not of the order of Melchizedek. He was of the order of Aaron. And so it was a temporary, it was a priesthood that was built on heredity. It was built on family line, starting with Levi and Aaron. And so now we see Jesus. Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, so he does not have that hereditary line that the Old Testament priests had. Jesus is the priest forever. And we read that when he ascended into heaven, he blessed them. He led them out to as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. So he is a priest who blessed his disciples, and in blessing them, he blessed all those who are his followers. The blessing from the priest named Jesus is not tied to a family line. In fact, we read in the New Testament that when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And what gifts did he give them? He gave them evangelists, prophets, apostles, pastors, and teachers. He gave the priesthood to every believer. Every believer has the office of priest. It's not tied to any family. You don't have to be a Jew to be a priest. You don't have to be a tribe of Levi to be a priest. Every follower of Jesus is a priest. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That speaks of our office as priest. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. All of us are priests, and all of us can be a blessing. We don't have to be of a certain tribe, of a certain nationality, of a certain race, of a certain denomination, of a certain ethnicity to be a priest. Every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ has the office of priest and has the responsibility of being a blessing to others. We all have to be a blessing to others. A blessing that we can give by means of our prayers, of our words. It's a privilege that every believer has. In the Reformation, it was called the priesthood of all believers. And that was a teaching that the Reformers got right out of the Word of God, because they left the established church, which had a very specific line and office of those who could give a blessing. And the Reformers said, no, no, no. It's not reserved just for a certain select few. Every believer who knows the Lord Jesus Christ has received a gift, and that gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes upon every believer and anoints us to be prophets, priests, and kings. The Heidelberg Catechism beautifully asks this question: what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? And the answer is, a Christian is one who shares the anointing that Jesus received himself, and who receives the gift of the Holy Spirit to be a prophet, priest, and king. We all have that gift of prophet, priest, and king. As prophet, we are called upon to speak in the name of the Lord. A mother is a prophet at home to her children. So is a father. We are prophets, priests, and kings. And so that priesthood, which was in the Old Testament reserved just for one family line, in Christ is for every believer, the priesthood of all believers. And so we are so much richer than the Old Testament people. And the disciples knew it. They knew it. Because when they returned from Bethany, they went into the temple with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Now you understand why Luke writes this, and he writes it to Theophilus. Now Theophilus was a Greek friend of Luke. We don't know a whole lot about Theophilus's background, but we know he was a Greek, and he was not brought up like a Jew. And so Luke is explaining the whole story of Jesus to his Greek friend. And in this story, he shows the Greek friend that he does not have to be a Jew to be a follower of Jesus Christ. All he has to do is believe in Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and he too becomes a priest, a person who can be a blessing to others. All of us have that responsibility to be a blessing to others. There's a song that says, "Make me a blessing on the highways and byways of life. Many are weary and sad. Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to others. Make me a blessing in my home, in my place of business, in my place of recreation. Make me a blessing. Help me to share the love of Christ." You see, Jesus ascended on high. He is the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and he makes us all priests too, so that we can be a blessing and give a blessing to others. Are you a blessing? Are you a blessing to your husband, to your wife? Are you a blessing to your children? Are you a blessing to the people that you work with? Are you a blessing to them? Is it better for them that you're there and you've been a blessing to them? I was visiting one of our dear patients. She got a beautiful letter from the boss that she had for a number of years. And the boss heard that she was sick. And so he sends a beautiful, beautiful letter to her. And she wanted me to read it. You know what this boss says to her? "You have been such a blessing to me and to our whole office." That's exactly what the Lord calls us to be a blessing. We may not start off on a day and say, "Well, I want to be a blessing today." No, it's just our natural way of living, being kind, having the fruit of the Spirit. Paul describes those fruits in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness. That's being a blessing. How we need that today. That's our witness. It's not only our witness, we also have a responsibility to give a word witness. Like Peter says, "Sanctify Christ in your heart as Lord and be ready always to give an answer to anyone who would ask you a reason for the hope you have." So that's a word witness, explaining why we have a hope, why we are the way we are, why we're happy, joyful, why we are a good neighbor, why we help others, why we're kind and generous. That's being a blessing. And so the ascension of our Lord Jesus was the ascension of our Savior as priest, in which he gives a blessing to all of his people, and he makes us a priest too. So that's the first thing, the person. The second thing is the place. Zechariah had to go to the temple, and he had to be by the altar of incense. Now that's a specific spot. And the people who wanted a blessing from the priest had to be there. And you recall how it said that Zacharias didn't come out right away. And so the people were waiting and wondered why he was delayed. And then they figured he had seen a vision. You see, the place was all important. They had to go to that specific location in order to receive a blessing. Now, Jesus is so much better. Jesus, he didn't give his blessing in Jerusalem. No, what do you read? You read that then he led them out as far as Bethany. That was in the out of doors. That was outside of Jerusalem, in the town of Bethany. In other words, the Lord is saying, this whole world is mine, and it's yours. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It's all His. We do not have to go to a certain place to have a blessing. We receive a blessing right where we are. And we are to be a blessing, as I just noted, but now we can experience the blessing of the Lord no matter where we are. You can experience it in a bedroom. You can experience it on the road, in a car. You can experience it on an airplane. You can experience it at work. No matter where you are, you can experience the blessing of the Lord. It doesn't depend upon space. It's not where you are that's important. It's the fact that the Lord is everywhere. He's everywhere. Psalm 139 brings that out so beautifully. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me fast. The Lord is not confined to a place. That's the way it was in the Old Testament. The blessing had to be received from that place. The people had to be around the temple or around the synagogue, which was a branch of the temple. That's where they had to be. If they weren't there, they didn't get the blessing. Not so anymore. We can receive a blessing anywhere, any place. Doesn't have to be in one place. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to go to the Holy Land. Muslims feel they have to go to Mecca, make one pilgrimage to Mecca a year or in their lifetime. We don't have to do that. You know why we don't have to do that? Because the Lord is everywhere present equally. He is everywhere. Remember how Hagar, who was the servant of Sarah, was driven away from the home with her boy, Ishmael. And there she is in the desert, and there's no water. And she cries unto the Lord, Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. That's a fact. God sees us wherever we are. A sailor can be in a submarine and know that the Lord is with him or her. I remember Jim Lovell was one of the astronauts who was on the moon. He said, I prayed on the moon, and the Lord heard me because he was there. He is everywhere present. We don't have to be at a certain place at a certain time to receive the blessing from the Lord. Anytime, anywhere. That's because of the beauty of the ascension of Christ. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The whole earth is the Lord's, and his blessing comes to everyone who seeks him. Everyone who calls upon the Lord will receive an answer and a blessing. Paul says, doesn't he? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's because the Lord is everywhere and hears us, no matter whether we are eloquent or whether we're stumbling, whether we're stammering or stuttering. The Lord knows our heart. He knows our heart. And He gives us an answer. He is with us. He hears our prayer. What a wonderful thing that is. We sing, I need Thee every hour. O blessed Lord. And what a great truth that is. He is ascended as our advocate. And because he ascended, he is also everywhere present. I just love that answer of the catechism, which says, is not Jesus here also? As he said, I will be with you always to the end of the world. And the answer is, Jesus Christ is both God and man. With his humanity, he is no longer present with us. But with his deity, his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is absent from us not for a moment. Not a moment is he absent from us. So it doesn't depend upon a certain place. He's here always. The third thing is time. You see, Zechariah served at a certain time. And it was during that time that he was the priest. It was at that time that the people had to come around the temple to receive the blessing from the priest. It was all related to the time. It was his duty, it was his time, and so he did it with our Lord Jesus. Every moment is okay. It doesn't depend on time. Morning, noon, and night. We can come to the Lord in the middle of the night. Remember how Psalm 121 puts it. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep. He's with us in the middle of the night. He's with us in times of joy and times of sorrow, in times of plenty and times of want, in times of sickness and times of health. There he is always. He's always with us. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. What can I fear? So the psalmist in 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is with me. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I need fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And that is all because he ascended into heaven. It's because of his death, his resurrection, and his glorious ascension, that he is with us always. He never leaves us or forsakes us. What a blessing. We are so privileged to know this Savior is ours. No wonder the child of God can sing, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. That is our Savior. He's with us. Always. Doesn't matter where we are. And that's a great, great comfort. Sometimes we have to go through difficult times. Sometimes we go through times of sickness, sorrow, and everyone will at one time or another. But we never have to be afraid, or we never have to think that the Lord's going to leave us out on the limb without him. He is with us. And that's one of the great things of the ascension of Christ. When he ascended on high, he did it for various reasons that he explains. He went on, ascended on high to be our advocate with God the Father. So we can pray to the Father through Christ. Anytime, anywhere. He also went into heaven to prepare a place for us. Those beautiful words in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So he's preparing a place for us. And when that place is ready, he's going to call us home. It may be sickness. That is the way in which it happens. It may be a heart attack. It may be an accident. It may be an explosion. We don't know what it will be. But one thing is sure. The Lord is in charge. Nothing happens to us by chance. Nothing. So he's preparing a place for us. That's the second thing. The third thing, he sends his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. who with the Father and the Son together is glorified and who spake by the prophets. The Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. He is Christ's present with us. In Our Lady Society this past Tuesday, we looked at the chapter entitled Christ's Companion. Christ's Companion. You know who Christ's companion is? It's the Holy Spirit. It was with him from the moment he was conceived to the moment he was received into heaven. The Holy Spirit was his constant companion. And Jesus gives his Holy Spirit to us. He gives his Spirit to us. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells in Christ is in the head, in us as his members. We see that in the Lord's Supper. Tomorrow an elder and I will have Lord's Supper at two of our shut-ins' houses. Doesn't matter if we have it there or here. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given to you, and this is my blood." And Jesus, who is in heaven, gives us his Spirit. And it is the Spirit who is the connector between the ascended Christ and us. And by his Spirit, we may know that that body was broken for us, for me, for you. And that blood was poured out for us. And that we may know the assurance of our salvation. Because Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after he had paid the price of sin and arose gloriously from the dead and is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says to you and me, "I love you. You are my children. Walk in my ways and share this with others." And everyone said, "Amen." Lord, bless us this day. Thank you for the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, may we grow in the knowledge of the Lord. May we grow in the appreciation of Christ's great and glorious work. In Jesus' name, amen.